We come to the fourth aspect of relationships now in this session, our relationship with our husbands and families. God's Word is a very practical book. The relationship that we have with God our Father and Jesus Christ our Saviour needs to be lived and worked out in our relationship with ourselves, our world, our environment, and we haven't touched very much on that this weekend, but that's an area that I think we as Christians are going to have to be active about, and most of all about our families. It's not easy in today's world when every aspect of life is suffering from the sinfulness of the human heart. Paul, in writing his letter to the Ephesians, gives them some instructions about their relationships, and I think they are particularly relevant in our families, because our new life in Christ needs to be obvious there. And of course, as we all know, and I know from talking with each of you, and I know in my own heart and in my own family, our homes and our families can be the hardest places to really live out our faith in Jesus Christ, because that's where we're known, warts and all. And so I want to look just for a few moments at a passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and then I want to look at another character in God's Word. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, "Now your attitudes and thoughts must all change." Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy and good. Clothe yourself with this new nature. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth, for we are parts of each other, and when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. If you are angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge. Don't let the sun go down with you still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. I think there's three important principles in these verses that apply particularly in our family relationships. Firstly, we need to be willing for growth and change. It says a new and different person. You can't be new and different without growth and change. And as Christians, we need to be growing in Christ-likeness. This will mean new thoughts and new attitudes that will affect the way we relate within our family circle. Secondly, we need to learn a new honesty, and how often this has been coming through this weekend. Verse 25 says, "Stop lying to each other, start telling the truth." Not only do we need to open ourselves up to God's searchlight in our hearts, but we also need to examine ourselves and be more honest with ourselves. We need to acknowledge more honestly where we're at and then take off our masks with each other. Yes, it's easy to know that we often find the biggest masks worn by those of us who are Christians. I'm sad to say that in the 25 years I've been in my work, that has been my sad experience, that often Christians, we put such expectations on ourselves and on each other. And so we find it really hard. We set standards for ourselves we can't keep, and then we're frightened to tell other people about them. We become critical of others when they don't meet the requirements, and that doesn't build a climate for sharing and encouraging each other. And then the third principle I want to bring out in this passage is the way we handle our emotions, especially the difficult ones like anger, and I touched on that yesterday afternoon, because it often needs a great deal of our attention. Verse 26 acknowledges that anger is there, but it says don't hang on to it. You can't get over it quickly by sweeping it under the carpet. It doesn't go away by trying to pretend it's not there. it needs dealing with in a constructive way. And anger is an emotion that is real for each of us. And if there's anyone here that has never felt angry, then I'd like to meet them. Because I haven't felt, even the sweetest people often have it buried away. And so we need to be able to understand where this anger's coming from, what its purpose is, and where it's directed if we are to handle it well. But this morning, to illustrate these three principles, I'd like to look with you at a woman who lived centuries before Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians. I love to pick out characters, as you've guessed, because I really believe they are there for us to identify with and for our instruction. And as I looked at this character, I felt that these principles were being worked out in her life. They were being worked out in her family, even though she had a very, very, very difficult relationship to cope with. And those of you who are going home to families where all the relationships are perfect, I give you permission now to have a little sneeze. Because this message I have deliberately chosen for those of us who live with a difficult relationship. And like Joyce Landorf, I tend to believe that somewhere in our family, somewhere in our circle, there is a person that she calls the irregular person in our life with whom we have difficulty working out a relationship. And so this story also comes from Samuel. I was in Samuel yesterday with Hannah, and today I'm going over to chapter 25, and the name of this woman is Abigail. Briefly, the story is that Abigail is the wife of Nabal. Chapter 25 of the first book of Samuel. I'm going to be just selecting passages. I can't read it all because of time, but I'll select the pertinent verses as we go. Abigail is the wife of Nabal, a rich farmer and a businessman in Maon. And it was a very difficult man that she had to live with. It was the custom at shearing time to show hospitality. And so David, who was working in the area, in the usual tradition, when he was there, sent 10 young men to take greetings of peace to the farmer Nabal and to ask for food in return for the protection he and his men had given to Nabal's shepherds and sheep. If they were in the area, they would help to take care that protection and security was afforded to the farmer and his servants. But when he comes to ask for drink and water and something to eat in return, and that was the custom, Nabal turns out to be an ungrateful, selfish, contemptuous man. And as we see Abigail living with this difficult man, I believe that there are several things that we can learn from her about family relationships and how to handle them, particularly if there's a difficult one amongst them. And the first thing is, be growing in understanding. Secondly, be realistic. Thirdly, be wise and practical. And fourthly, be in control of your emotions. Firstly, I'll repeat them, grow in understanding. In chapter 25, we see in verse 2 and 3 this story that I've been telling you unfolding. There was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. The woman was of good understanding and beautiful, but the man was churlish and ill-behaved. It tells us that Abigail is beautiful and intelligent woman, and she's a woman of understanding. And I believe that this is what helped her cope in this difficult time. Her name, incidentally, means a father's joy. She was a daughter. She belonged to her father, and she was her father's joy. We can all identify with being a daughter, but maybe this morning we can't all identify with being a father's joy. We know that sometimes it is wonderful to know that we are wanted, loved, and accepted, and a joy to our parents. But there are some of us who will have relationships with parents that need attention. And how many of the difficulties in our relationships originate in the family where we learned our first lessons about how to value ourselves, where we learnt our first lessons about sharing one with another, where we took on our identity of who we are and who we're going to be. And as children, we are so impressionable. It's in our home, in our relationship with our fathers, that we first took on our identity as sexual beings. And so for many of us, there are problems that go a long way back. And I believe if we are going to deal with these, that we need, first of all, to be able to acknowledge our problems. We need to be able to acknowledge them to ourselves. Then, hopefully, in the home where we live, we can talk it over with our partner, because this is the next significant man that God has given us in our lives with whom to work. Those of you who are single will find that a little harder. But maybe there's a brother or an uncle, or there's a wise Christian counsellor that you can talk to. And sometimes I believe when the problems go a long way back, we might need to seek the help of a counsellor to talk about those things. Awareness makes us aware of what we're dealing with, but then we have to help God in the process of healing by allowing ourselves to open up and to learn to trust and to cut new and different paths for the future. Well, Abigail knew, obviously, that she was a father's joy, and perhaps that's what was helping her at this time. And I think that there are many women who cope with difficult relationships because they know that security. And we as parents need to be aware that we are giving our children that sort of security that will take them through life in their relationships. And if we've mucked it up, it's never too late. Isn't that wonderful? In God's economy, it is never too late for us to start working through an honest, open relationship and bringing healing where there is hurt and pain. But Abigail was also a wife, and some writers suggest that she'd made a mistake in her marriage. Well, I don't know about that, but maybe they suggest that she'd married a man who really was inadequate and inferior. Maybe she or her parents had been dazzled by his wealth. Oh dear, what a trap again. Because we as parents, we as human beings, we like life to be nice for ourselves, we long for it for our children. But we need to only seek that partner that is of God's choice. If you are single this morning, don't be dazzled by the things that entice. Make sure it is a partner of God's choice. But mistake or not, Abigail was a good wife to Nabal, and a very wise one. It says she was certainly intelligent. How important that is today too in our society, that women be using the minds and the intelligence that God has given us. And we need to be using that intelligence to be growing in our relationship with God. We need to be opening his word, not frightened of the difficult spots, getting a commentary, talking to other people, learning more about our God, understanding his word. He's given us minds to use. Let's open our minds to what God wants to say to us. And we need to be understanding his ways. And we need to understand the world and the times in which we have been placed. We need to listen to the news and read our newspapers and be women who are able to comment intelligently so that God can use us, so that God can help us to take our place. And we also need to be growing in our knowledge of ourselves And that will take time, effort and communication, sharing and listening. And you know, we can't do that unless we first come to the place of accepting ourselves. And it's in our relationship with God that we find our real identity, as we've been reminded over and over again this weekend. His love can enable us to find our security and our worth that gives us new confidence in working through the relationships in our family. Oh yes, there might be scars and hang-ups from early years, but they can be dealt with. And there is power to rob these of their power in our life, because the power of God is greater and He wants to help us in our relationships. But the second thing we learn about Abigail is that she's realistic about her situation. And so, like that passage in Ephesians told us to be, she's got an honesty about herself and her relationship. Trouble threatened her household as a result of her husband's difficult disposition, because when he turned David's men away without food and water, that spelt trouble and warfare. That was the nature of the custom. And so we read in verse 14, "But one of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, 'Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he hurled insults at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields as long as we went with them. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know this and consider what you should do. For evil is determined against our master," that's Nabal, "and against all his house, and he is so ill-natured that one cannot speak to him." Fortunate, isn't it, that the servants knew where to turn. Abigail was approachable. They could talk to her, and she didn't close her eyes to the problem. She was realistic about the person that she was living with in her home. She was not only a realist, but she was able to retain her poise and confidence in a very difficult situation. And it's here her faith in God becomes evident. You see, she wasn't spending all her time and energy asking God to remove the problem. She let God use her in the situation. Later, her circumstances were changed, but there was no guarantee of the problem being taken away at this stage. Ladies, God doesn't always remove our problem. He helps us in it. He doesn't take away that irregular person in our life. He helps us deal with the situation. When we have a difficult relationship to cope with, what a lot of time, energy, emotions and even prayer can be wasted if we aren't really honest and realistic about the situation. In your family relationships and in mine, there are some things that you and I are responsible for and can change, but there will be other things that we can't change. How hard it is sometimes to be a mother, to stand back and watch your children doing the things that break your heart, and know that you can't step in and alter the course of their life for them. I know, I've tried. Doesn't work, does it? You've tried too, and it doesn't work. You see, in God's economy, we can only, in the final analysis, be responsible for ourselves. We only have to answer to Him for me. When I get to heaven, He will not ask me for my mother button as an entry. He will ask me about my relationship with Him. And so we need to be able, like the AA prayer to ask God to give us the serenity to accept the things we can't change, but courage to change the things we can, and often that's our attitudes and the way we handle problems, and the wisdom to know the difference. Abigail's acceptance of the truth and the reality of her situation set her free to avoid the pitfall of self-pity. Oh, I know many women that I talk to who spend their lives crying over things that can't be changed, wishing that their lot were different. If only I had the lot of Mrs. So-and-so in our church fellowship. Everything's going right for her. We envy someone else's situation. Or if only my difficult partner or my difficult child or my difficult mother, if only God would intervene to change them, everything would be right. You know, we need a new honesty about ourselves. It's seeing ourselves as we really are that God helps us to grow. He gives us the opportunity to learn more of Him. He gives us the opportunity to grow in Christ-likeness. Lillian was a woman who lived in America, and they were in a little group where they were seeking to find out what it was to live the Christian life in their own home. And so they'd gone away with an experiment to ask God to search their hearts and to learn what they needed to do to change. Lillian was a sweet woman who prayed very sweet prayers, according to Keith Miller, who's writing the book, and he says that he almost wondered what she was doing in the group. She had such an angelic face. And she not said very much, but she came back this week like a tornado, bubbling over. It's the shirts, it's the shirts. And so they said, Lillian, what are you talking about? Tell us about it. She said, when I was married, I came from the deep old South. And I was told by my mother that ironing shirts was not a woman's job. Now, we can laugh at that, but we have to realise that was the culture there. And so she said, my husband was a struggling young student and we didn't have much money. But every week we had to send his shirts to the laundry. Some years later, he developed a rash and he had to have hand-ironed shirts. So for 16 years, on a Saturday morning, while I fix breakfast, I have watched him iron his own shirts. At about the same time, we started going to different churches and having difficulty in sharing fellowship with each other. She said, as I've searched my heart this week, I've made the discovery that all the tension in our home and the wrangling is about my unwillingness just to iron a shirt. She said, will you pray for me? I don't know if it's too late after 25 years, but I want God to do a new thing. Well, Keith Miller says he doesn't know what happened that week, but they prayed for Lillian. And the next week, her husband came with her to the group, and he was grinning from ear to ear. They came like two children happily every week for the next year, before Lillian died suddenly of a stroke. Ladies, sometimes there's just some silly little thing like shirts that gets into our hearts and into our lives and into our homes and into our relationships. And we spoil our marriages and our family relationships over silly, petty little things that eat us out and feed our resentment and our bitterness. We need for a new honesty that God can search our hearts, that we might find the way back to what He wants in our hearts and homes. Then thirdly, Abigail was wise and godly in her actions. She was very practical. She got a food offering ready. We read in verse 18, then Abigail made haste and she took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and she laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I'm coming after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. down to verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she made haste, she got off the ass, and she fell before David on her face, and she bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "Upon me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Pray let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant." 28. "Pray forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live." Abigail was a peacemaker. Not peace at any price, mind you. She sought to put right the wrong that had been done by her household against David and his men. She recognised the problems and dangers that threatened her household, the warfare that it was likely to bring upon her home and family, and she was not afraid to confront them and to seek a resolution. She sought forgiveness where there had been wrong. And in fact, what happens here in this story is that her humility, her faith, and her godly actions, and her wise counsel changed the course of events. And instead of much bloodshed, which could have come to her house, and loss of life, peace was restored. How different it could have been. She could have spent all the time ranting and raving at this foolish husband and not got round to doing anything about the problem. How often we spend our energy in ranting and raving or in just wringing our hands, frightened to do anything, when if we were able, with God's grace, to confront the situation lovingly and wisely and with his counsel, we could do something to rectify the situation. As well as being faithful to God, she was faithful to her husband and true to herself. She didn't run down to him. She said nothing. She didn't run down and say, "Look what I've got to do. You've made this big mess. And now look what I've got to do," and big nose herself and put him down and ridicule him. She did what needed to be done with wise counsel. She confronted the problem and sought the solution. She was careful to choose the right time and the right way to communicate with her servants. I don't hear her saying to the servants, they all knew what Nabal was like, but I don't hear her wasting a lot of words criticising her husband to them. No, she got on with what needed to be done. And also she speaks to her husband in time, but she has to choose the right time. She has to go to and speak to David where wrong has been done. Each one of these people in her life needed a different approach, and she was sensitive in her handling of the situation. Relationships are like that. We are all different. We are all unique. You who are mothers will know what I'm talking about. Have you got a chalk and cheese in your family like I've got? I could no way approach my three daughters all in an identical fashion. I'd get a different response from each of them. I need to be sensitive to the way that I hear their needs and the way I approach them. And so we need to be sensitive, and we need to be looking to God for wise counsel. Abigail had wisdom to know that in this crisis, she had to be true to herself and be responsible for what she had to do. You know, yesterday we were talking about conflicts and crisis. So often in a crisis and when there's ongoing problems, we want to be able to do something to fix up the other person. You know, we can only be responsible for our own part in it. We can only be responsible for what we can do. And Abigail knew when to speak and when to be silent. She knew what to say and how to do it. Change has to begin with you and me. We can only take responsibility for ourselves. And I know that's enough, isn't it? I mean, dealing with ourselves is quite enough without having to fix others. We can't change the other person. We have to leave God to do his work in their lives. And sometimes, though, We need to be willing to make the first move. And I know that because I speak to a lot of people, we're always hoping it's the other one will make the first move. If they'd only come and say they're sorry, then I'd be willing. If only they'd let me know that they're interested in doing something about this problem, I'm more than willing, you know. But we don't want to make that first move. Abigail had to be brave and take the initiative. And you know, our children are watching us. We need to be peacemakers and to be wise, because they are learning from us how to resolve conflicts. We need to give a new model of how to do things. But then fourthly, Abigail's emotions were under control. She, I believe, long before Ephesians was written, knew about this anger and about needing to deal with the anger and the resentment that she must have had in her life as she lived with this difficult person. We read in verse 36, and Abigail is on her way back now from having fed David and his men, and she came to Nabal, and lo, he was holding a feast in his house like the feast of a king. Wouldn't you believe it? He said no to poor old David, and he's holding a feast. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. And in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him these things, and his heart failed within him, and he became a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord smote Nabal, and he died. Poor Abigail. She's just got back from saving Nabal's life, from saving bloodshed and warfare, from caring for her household, and Nabal's having a party and is drunk. What an excuse she would have had to have let fly with her feelings. I'm sure that I would have had a lot to say at that party. I would have had real difficulty in doing what Abigail did. She said nothing till the morning. She knew that she had to deal with her own feelings before God, and that she had to be wise. I'm not sure that many women I see with similar problems would have behaved like Abigail. She could have easily become a nagger. She would have had a good excuse, I reckon. She could have been a bitter, angry woman. Or she could have been a frightened little mouse that never said anything. But no, she chose the way she would go about it sensibly. And so it seems from the story that Abigail's troubles only helped her to grow in maturity and serve to sweeten her nature and strengthen her faith. And God intervenes. Now, let me reassure you that this is not the way God deals with all our difficult people in our lives, and neither should he. So don't go praying any wrong prayers about Abigail. But sometimes I know I talk to people who wish that might happen, but no, I believe it was because God had things for Abigail and he'd worked in her life, and she was able to deal with this. And I'm sure that Nabal, if we want to analyse it, had probably been feasting and drinking for many years. His heart was probably about ready to conk out anyway. And so he was an angry man. Angry men build up blood pressure. Angry people with bitterness and resentment build up all these things. And so I'm sure that Nabal had quite a deal about his own imminent death. But it says that God intervened in this way in her life. But you know, David could have been angry with her too about her husband's behaviour. But we read as we go on in the story that David was impressed by her appeal. And he not only accepted the gift and the forgiveness, he also accepted her advice to let the matter rest at this. And so he accepted her counsel, and he went on to give her a blessing. It obviously appears that Nabal, her husband, died unrepentant, but his wife went on in faith. Her meekness, Her humility and graciousness triumphed later on when she was invited to be David's wife. You know, meekness and humility is a value and a characteristic in lives that is not valued as much today as it used to be. We hear so much about women wanting their rights, women wanting to be able to stand up for themselves, women to have what's owed to them. Now, I know that in many cases there's a legitimate reason, and I'm not going to be contrary about that. But I do think that we need to look at some of the gracious characters in God's Word. It was Abigail's humility and meekness that spoke in her life. She was willing to be God's servant in this difficult situation. Has God placed you in your home, in your marriage, in your family, so that you might be a servant? We all need to be servants to each other. Bitterness and anger had not eaten Abigail out. No, in fact, she knew the importance of forgiveness and being able to humbly do what God wanted her to do. When our emotions get out of control, as Ephesians tells us, we give a mighty foothold to the devil. We need to be women who have allow God to have control in our lives when it comes to our emotions. Abigail was able to live as a woman of God in a very difficult relationship, in a situation that must have caused much pain from time to time. But she could do it because she trusted in the God of Israel. She grew in understanding. She accepted her situation realistically and honestly, and she acted in a wise and godly fashion to resolve the problems, and she kept her emotions under God's control. I love the story that Mrs. Chambers tells of how a plumber came to do a job of work in her home, and she picked up that he was a Christian. And because he was of European descent, she wondered how he'd come to faith, and so she asked him. And he said, "It was through the serene life of my mother-in-law." He shared how when he'd come to our country, he had not been able to speak much English, and he had sought accommodation in a home, and he'd got it in the home of a widow who had been rearing five children. And she was widowed, and she was a Christian woman. And he said, although they had a language problem, he could see in her life the serenity and the peace that God had given her. And so because he wanted what she had, he asked her about it. And he came to know Jesus Christ for himself. And then he said, because he also wanted a home and a family like she had, he married one of her daughters. And so Mrs. Chambers jokes and says that she would love to be able to set up a club for serene mothers-in-law, if only she could find enough of them. And I think, ladies, we need that challenge to know that in our homes there are people who are watching us in our relationships. They are watching for the relationship that we've been talking about this weekend, our relationship with God, to be worked out in our homes. Our neighbours, our in-laws, our parents, our sisters, our brothers, our husbands, our children are watching us. They'll watch us as we go back home from this conference. They'll want to know if feeding on God's Word this weekend has made a difference in the way we live. Will we allow God to make that difference? Will we learn from that passage in Ephesians to have that new attitude, that new and different attitude that makes us new and different people in Christ? Will we stop lying and have a new honesty about ourselves and the people we live with? Will we also have those emotions under control, under God's control, so that we might be able to show forth? Abigail lived long before Ephesians was written, but in a very difficult time and in a very difficult relationship, she called upon the God of Israel, the God of her, within whom she had faith and trusted, and she was able to live through that situation and honour God. Norman Vincent Peale tells a story of a woman who he came to meet through a letter that was written to him. He was going to speak in a town and he received a letter from a young man who said, "My grandmother has always wanted to meet you. She's been trying to save up the money to go and hear you preach. She's been a wonderful grandmother. She's reared 7 children of her own and 2 grandchildren. She's educated us. She's gone to bed hungry some nights so that she could feed her family. She paid her little down deposit on a home so that she might give us a roof over our heads. And she's an angel on 2 feet, and she has a laugh like music. By the way, we're Negroes," he finished the letter. Peale says that because he wanted to know what an angel on 2 feet with a laugh like music was like, he went to find this woman, and he came to this little humble cottage, and it was empty, but he saw a woman swaying down the road, singing as she came with a basket on her arm, and he suspected that might be the angel on 2 feet, and so he waited, and sure enough she came. And she said, "Why have you come to visit me?" He said, "Well, I heard there was an angel on 2 feet with a laugh like music and I wanted to hear it." And she chuckled away and he said it really was a laugh like music. And she took him into her humble little home and showed him photos of her children and grandchildren. And the phone rang while he was there and she picked up the phone and she said, "That's all right, honey, I'll be over soon to prop you up." And she got off the phone and she said, "That poor white woman, she really does need a lot of propping up." And he said, "Why is she poor?" "No, she's very rich actually." And he said, "Well, how come she needs so much propping up?" And she said to him, "Well, you know, those sort of riches don't make you rich. It's the riches on the inside." And he asked her about her family and how she'd managed to rear them in such circumstances. And he said that she said to him, "I just love them. I have Jesus in my heart and I know his riches, so I just love them." Ladies, we've been singing all weekend about loving others. We need Jesus to go with us into our homes and families and to love our husbands and our children and our families through us.